that Abraham faced as well. We don't just see the perfection of by faith Abraham, you know, went to this country when he was called. We see the mountaintop decisions of offering his son Isaac. We see the challenges that are there then in giving birth to Ishmael. And it's helpful for all of us because these Old Testament saints that are mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11 are like as we are. They're sinners that by faith trusted God to do greater things than they could do in and of themselves. And the same God that directed in their lives is still at work today. And the same things that were accomplished in Abraham's life can be accomplished in our lives. But we acknowledge, or we ought to acknowledge, that we all face challenges. I said this morning in the message that there's not one of us in the listening audience or in the ability to read the Word of God that can say, you know what, that's the boat that I'm in, and I'm the only one in that boat. I'm the only one who's having trouble individually. I'm the only one who's having trouble in my marriage. I'm the only one that's having trouble in my home. I'm the only one that's having trouble in my community, in my neighborhood, with my coworkers, with my friends. I'm the only one. No, the Bible reveals to us that they are just like we are, and they faced very difficult things. And, you know, I'm thankful that we can look back to the life of Abraham and we know both sides of the coin. I'm grateful to God that my name is not recorded in the Bible, because you'd be looking back at every aspect of my life and saying, boy, that was a bad decision. That was a bad decision. I can't believe you did that. And that's what we're able to do with the lives of David and Abraham. And we're able to look back and we're able to gain help and strength in this day in which we find ourselves. And so I know that, like this morning, it is tough to go through those difficult things and to deal with things related to marriage, to deal with things related to home. But I do pray that with each of them we'll give a Bible directive as to the path that we ought to take. Tonight we come to a verse, again we come back to this verse, and I pray that this will be a help to us. We started in on this last Sunday night, and this is a good verse to go to after a difficult message on Sunday morning. The Bible says in 2 Samuel 22 and verse number 31, as for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all them that trust in him. Be a great verse to commit to memory when you are in those difficult straits. And again, remember that David pens these words in the midst of the peace that he was enjoying after dealings with Saul, after dealings with sin, after dealing with the issues of sedition. All those kinds of things have now passed him by, and he finally has peace in the land. And he looks back over his life and he says, God, your way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all them that trust in him. Last Sunday night, we looked at the way of the Lord and the fact that the way is truth. His way can be trusted, and I would encourage each one to take his way. His way may not be easy, but it is the right way. It is the best way. You ever have someone ask you, hey, what's the best route to get to, and you fill in the blank with some place that you're familiar with. In our area, there's probably a dozen ways to get to any place you want to go, except coming from Manassas to here, you got to take the bridge, or you got to go way out of your way, Centerville or Lorton. So that does become a little bit of a challenge. But most of the places that we go, you know, there's a number of different ways that we could take. Now, in the directions that God has given to us in his spiritual GPS, he says, my way is perfect. My way is the best way to go. It may not make sense, but his way can be trusted. We looked at that last Sunday night. I'd encourage you to go back and listen to that message if you were not able to be here, because it's such a vital part of the verse. As for God, his way is perfect. So the way of the Lord. Now, number two tonight, would you look at the next portion of the verse? We first of all look at the way of the Lord. Then we look at the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord is tried. The word of the Lord is tried. Have you ever had a cheap knife and a really good knife? You ever had a really cheap knife or a really good knife? I've had the inexpensive knives, and the plastic is cheap. The closure is cheap. And when you try to use it as anything but a letter opener, you risk harming yourself. You ever had one of these knives that's supposed to be a lock blade and it's supposed to lock open and it doesn't lock very well and you go to really put the mojo to it and it closes on your fingers? Ooh, I didn't intend for that to happen. The word of the Lord is tried. It's like the high value knife that has the best of the products involved with it, that has the best of the craftsmanship. You and I go to the counter and we say, you know, I want to buy a knife. And we say, oh, I don't want to spend $350 on that knife, so I'm going to spend $22. I mean, they look just about the same. And in reality, there's a great deal of difference between the two knives. One is high quality and it's got great craftsmanship, and it will perform how it needs to perform when it needs to perform that way. And by the way, it seems as though with those knives, you can use them as just about anything and they'll take it. There's a knife manufacturer that is sold down at the Smoky Mountain Knife Works. And they guarantee their knives. And it doesn't matter what you do to them. If you're in the backwoods and you had to shoot your knife for some reason and put holes in it, you could return it and they'll send you a brand new one. It is a lifetime, unlimited guarantee in their knife. But I tell you, they're very expensive as compared to other knives. Well, that's not a surprise because you can get a brand new one no matter how you use it. You use it a crowbar and you use it as a hammer and you use it as a chisel and you use it as an axe and everything like this. Hey, the craftsmanship, they're saying it will hold up. It's tried. It's true. It will meet the demand. The Word of God is delivering to us a tremendous statement. The Word of the Lord is tried. It has been tested, and every time it comes back, it has proven to pass the test. There's no bad alloy in it. There's no weakness in its makeup. There's no issue from the manufacturer. There's no recall on the Word of God. Have you ever had a vehicle that's got a recall on it? Hey guys, why didn't you fix all these matters before you first sold them? Well, we thought we did, but there's other glitches that rose up. And so you've got a 2-year-old vehicle and there's 17 recalls on it. Well, the Word of God has no recalls. It has the best of the manufacturing. It's Almighty God. It's tried, if you would, as the Bible says. And I want you to consider that with me. The way of the Lord is truth. The way of the Lord can be trusted. The way of the Lord should be taken. But the way of the Lord is based upon the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord, it means to melt. It means it's pure. It means it has been purged away. The Bible says the word of the Lord is tried. Psalm 12 and verse number 6. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified 7 times. Psalm 18:30. As for God, His way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust in Him. Wonder where we've seen that verse. Psalm 119:140. Thy word is very pure, therefore thy servant loveth it. Proverbs 30 and verse number 5. Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in Him. Well, let me ask you tonight, where in the Bible do we see the word of the Lord tried? So the word of the Lord goes out and someone tests whether or not the word of the Lord is true and accurate. Is there any place we can go in the word of God to find the truth or the testament or the purification of the word as it's been delivered? Well, I'm glad you asked that question. We're going to go through a couple of them tonight. Adam and Eve. What was the word of the Lord? The word of the Lord said, "You shall not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." Satan comes along and he says in the opening of Genesis chapter 3, "Ye shall not surely die." Okay, right then, we're going to be able to test the word of the Lord. The word of God said, "In the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." Satan said, "Ye shall not surely die." We have conflicting opinions on the word of the Lord. You know what Adam and Eve found out? They found out the word of the Lord was the truth. When Eve saw that it was pleasant to the eyes and it was desire to be food, she took of the fruit and gave thereof to her own husband. And the Bible says they realized that they were in sin. And when God came looking for them in the garden, the Bible says they hid themselves. Do you know what they found out about the word of the Lord? They found out God was telling the truth. "In the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." Adam, Eve, is the word of the Lord tried and true? Yes. Yes, it is. We remember both of those days. Let's go to Abraham and Sarah. I won't spend much time there because we spend a significant amount of time in their lives over the past number of weeks and then this morning. But here was the promise from God. Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. "The Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, from thy kindred, from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great." There's the statement. There's the word of the Lord. "I will make a great nation of you. I will bless you and make thy name great." Did it ever happen? Well, I'm glad you asked. Genesis 46 and verse number 27. "And the sons of Joseph, which were born him in Egypt, were two souls. All the souls of the house of Jacob, which came into Egypt, were 70. 70 members of the family of Abraham. But do you know what happened when they came out of the land of Egypt? When they came out of the land of Egypt, 70 had come down to the land of Egypt under the household of Jacob, under the care of Joseph. And in Exodus chapter 12, the Bible says the children of Israel journeyed from Ramses to Succoth, about 600,000 on foot that were men beside children. A mixed multitude went up also with them. They speculate that there were about 2 million in the land of the children of, or in the land of Egypt, of the children of Israel that came out of the land when 70 had gone down. The word of the Lord is tried. "Abram, I'm going to make of you a great nation." 70 souls turned into 2 million plus. Let's go to another lady by the name of Hannah. 1 Samuel chapter number 1, verse number 11. She's there pouring her heart out before Almighty God. The high priest thinks that she's drunk and just babbling. But she vows a vow and says, "O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life. And there shall no razor come upon his head." The Bible says in 1 Samuel chapter 1, verses 17 to 20, that in fact, God's word was true. "The God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him." And the Bible says it came to pass when the time was come about after Hannah had conceived that she bare a son and called his name Samuel, saying, "Because I asked him of the Lord." Adam, Eve, have you ever heard the word of the Lord? Yes, we have. Is it tried? Is it true? Yes, it is. Abraham, have you ever been given the word of the Lord? Is it tried? Is it true? Yes, it's tried and true. He declared to just me and my wife that he would make of us a great nation and millions abound. Hannah, has it been given to you the word of the Lord? Yes, it has. God gave me a son, just as he said, King David. Can you imagine what it was like with him there in 1 Samuel chapter 16, when all the brothers had passed before the high priest Samuel, and one by one God said, "No, not him, no, not him, no, not him." And finally, he says to Jesse, is this all your boys? Well, no, it's not. I've got this one that's out keeping the sheep. We might take the wording from the New Testament and say, but what is he among so many? What is David, this ruddy fellow? What is he amongst all these people? Well, bring him in here. We'll not eat until you bring him in here. And the Bible says that David was the one that would be anointed as the next king in Israel. He's a young man at this stage. And it takes about 14 to 15 years before it would all come to pass. David is God's word tried and true. 2 Samuel chapter 5, verses 3 to 5. So all the elders of Israel came to the king of Hebron. And King David made a league with them in Hebron before the Lord. And they anointed David king over Israel. David was 30 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 40 years. God's word was true. It took some time. It took some time with Abraham to see it come to pass and to see his name and family become a great nation. It took some time for David. David, is God's word true? Yes, is proven out to be tested. I think of a man by the name of Hezekiah. There were many kings in the northern kingdom, and yet we find not one good king in the north. There were many kings in the southern kingdom, and out of those kings in the southern kingdom, there were eight that pleased Almighty God. One of them was a man by the name of Hezekiah. Assyria has already overwhelmed the northern kingdom. They've overrun the capital of the northern kingdom, and now they have their eyes set on finishing off the southern kingdom. And they send Hezekiah a letter, and they declare to Hezekiah, your gods mean nothing against the might of the Assyrians. Sometime do a study on the book of Jonah and on the book of Nahum. And just consider how merciless the Assyrians were. They were absolutely terrors of the known world. And they ran roughshod through the northern kingdom, and they sent a letter to Hezekiah, and they said, we're going to make of you just what we made of your family there in the northern kingdom, and we're going to demolish the southern kingdom too and wipe you out. Hezekiah goes, and all he does is take the letter that they sent, and he pours it out on the altar before God and said, God, this is what they're saying about you. Well, I tell you what, when you get God involved in your fight, you're on a good side. He never said, now, Lord, don't let me lose my kingdom. Now, Lord, don't let me lose the throne. Now, Lord, don't make it a mess for my family and our future. He just poured it out and said, God, this is what they're saying about you, and this is what they're saying about your people. 2 Kings chapter 19, verses 14 through 20. Then Isaiah, the son of Amos, sent to Hezekiah saying, thus saith the Lord God, this is the word of God. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, that which thou hast prayed to me against Sennacherib, king of Assyria, I have heard. That old boy was in a mess right then. 2 Kings chapter 19, verse 35, it came to pass that night that the angel of the Lord went out and smote in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000. And when they arose early in the morning, behold, they were all dead corpses. 185,000 soldiers that lost their lives in that one night because they defied Almighty God, because they defied the people of God, and because the people of God did what they should have done, and they trusted the word of God. Now I turn to all of us tonight. Do you believe that the word of the Lord can be trusted? Oh, I know we'd give lip service to it, but if we were Abraham and we were asked to move into an unknown country, would we do it? If we were asked to take another step and teach a Sunday school, would we be the kind that would say, not so, Lord, for I have never. Brother Haney reaches out to one of you men and says, hey, I'd like you to bring the devotional for the men's breakfast. Not so, Lord. Not so. You've got the wrong one. Would we be willing to take that next step? Would we be willing to launch out? Would we be willing to trust the word of the Lord? And I mentioned this morning. It's amazing how quickly some trust Jesus Christ for their eternal life, and then they hold back on the things that are in this physical life. Well, I got to tell you tonight, if we can trust him with our salvation and our eternal home in heaven, I can certainly trust him with the water bill. I can certainly trust him with the electric bill. I can certainly trust him with my tithes and offerings. I can certainly trust him with my day-to-day needs. The word of the Lord, the way of the Lord. Let's look at the last part of the verse then. He is a buckler to all them that trust in him. Number one, his way is perfect, the way of the Lord. Number two, the word of the Lord. Time and again, we find people that proved out the word of the Lord was tried and true. The way of the Lord, perfect. The word of the Lord, tried. Then this last one, number three, I'll call it the wall of the Lord. He is a buckler to all them that trust in him. That word there, he is a shield, a protector. It's like the scaly hide of the crocodile. I'm not a big fan of up close and impersonal confrontations with crocodiles. It has been 4 years ago. I can't imagine this, Watt and Amanda. But it's been 4 years since Pastor Kyle and I came to Thailand, and Watt is a master manipulator with the camera. And so he said to Kyle and I, while we were at this crocodile farm, he said, "Hey guys, I want you to just hold out your hands like this." So we have no idea what he's doing. And we hold out our hands like this. Kyle was about two or three paces from me. He's holding out his hands like this, and I'm holding out my hands. We get back, and here Watt has superimposed a crocodile in our arms. And so literally I had people calling me saying, "Are you and Kyle holding a crocodile? Seriously? No way." You know, I'm scared of the stuffed ones that are alongside Interstate 95 coming up out of Florida. You know, you stop at those places and it says, "See this 11-foot alligator," you know, and I'm going in and I'm like, "Yeah, is that really stuffed?" You know. That's I don't know how those people do that kind of thing, but when we were with them, we go to this crocodile farm, and there are guys that put their heads in the mouths of these crocodiles. They put money on the tongue of the crocodile. When people throw money into the arena there, they take that money and throw it all into the mouth of the crocodile. Well, I did it eventually, but I wouldn't take it out of their mouths. If you know what I mean, all right? But these guys throw the money. Am I telling the truth? I'm telling the truth. They throw the money in their mouths. And then they play around with that thing, and then they reach in and get it. No way. No way. Well, I think they said there was well over at one time 100,000 crocodiles in this place. And they run the gamut from just little baby crocodiles all the way up to 20 plus feet long. You can walk on a wooden deck over top of them in the water. You could take a chicken carcass and put it on the end of a fishing line and feed the crocodiles if you'd like to do that. OSHA, not around at all, trust me, all right? That no bearings whatsoever on that park. But I tell you what, you see the back hide of that crocodile and you can understand, man, there's really no enemy that can bring something against them. You have to get their eyes. You have to be very specific if you're going to ever survive, because they've got such a hardened exterior. And that's the picture that has been given to us, is this protector, this armed buckler, this defense, a ruler, a scale, a shield. Use those words and think with me again. The Bible says, he, God, is a buckler to all them that trust in him. Well, how does this truth help us today? God is that great shield for the believer. He is the buffer that separates the believer from the enemy. Have there not been times in your life, there have been times in our lives where we've been very aware of the shield that God has provided? Sometimes we see it immediately. Sometimes we don't even know about it. But let's very quickly walk through some scriptures that apply. Deuteronomy chapter 20 and verse number 1. When thou goest out to battle against thine enemies and seest horses and chariots and a people more than thou, be not afraid of them, for the Lord thy God is with thee, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Psalm 18:30. As for God, his way is perfect. Latter part, he is a buckler to all those that trust in him. Psalm 35:2. Take hold of a shield and buckler and stand up for mine help. Psalm 84:11. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. Psalm 91:4. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Isaiah 43:2. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. 2 Kings chapter 19, verse 34. There is a word that is used again and again and again, and the English spelling of it from the Hebrew is G-A-N-A-N. I would not attempt to pronounce it correctly in Hebrew, but Ganan. Christ said, or God said here in 2 Kings chapter 19 in the story there, I will defend. 2 Kings chapter 20, verse number 6, God declared, I will defend. Isaiah 31, verse number 5, this word again is used time and again in the Hebrew, where God said, the Lord of hosts, defend Jerusalem. Isaiah 37, verse 35, for I will defend. Same word. Isaiah 38, verse number 6, God said, I will defend this city. Zechariah 9, verse 15, the Bible says, the Lord of hosts shall defend. Zechariah 12, 8, in the day shall the Lord defend. Now let's sit with David and just listen to the ways that God was a wall in his life. He trusted the way of the Lord. He trusted the word of the Lord. And boy, he sure knew what it was to be the wall of the Lord. In 1 Samuel 17, verses 34 and 35, he is sharing two stories, not out of braggadocio, but out of truth. And he says to Saul, Saul, I'm willing to go face Goliath because God has been a shield to me. And a lion came against the sheep of our flock, and a bear came against the sheep of our flock. I don't know if you've ever seen a lion in the wild, but they're not little kitty cats. I don't know if you've ever seen a bear in the wild, but it's not a plush stuffed animal. They're very dangerous. And David said, God was a wall to me. He goes out to fight Goliath. Goliath is 9 foot 9 inches tall, covered in incredible amounts of armor. And yet David doesn't lean back, stay back, or run. He runs to Goliath. Why? Because he knew that there was a supernatural wall that would be protecting him every step of the way. How many times does Saul rise up that he might take David's life? The Bible says in chapter 18 of 1 Samuel, an evil spirit from God came upon Saul. The Bible says he reaches over and picks up a javelin that he might impale David to the wall. And David avoided out of his presence twice against the Amalekites. 1 Samuel chapter 30, verses 17 to 19. The Bible says that David recovered all from the Amalekites that they had carried away. And he rescued his two wives. God was a wall and a protector of David. Protected David against Abner and Ishbosheth. He protected David against the Philistines, as we've seen there in the end of these previous chapters when all the family members of Goliath came against David and his men. There was a wall between David and Absalom. Time and again, David could know God is there. Why is that? He knew God was his buckler. Now, folks, I don't know which of these three, or if all three, might be an encouragement to you tonight, but can I just challenge you in your walk with the Lord? The way of the Lord is the best way. The way of the Lord is the best way. Young people, listen to me tonight. The way of the Lord is the best way. Well, Pastor, there have been a lot of individuals that have let me down. Parents that have let me down, grandparents that have let me down, aunts and uncles that have let me down, brothers and sisters that have let me down, or whatever you come up with. I'm telling you today, the way of the Lord is the best way. How do I know that? He's promised us the truth of His Word. Well, I just wish that I knew it had been tried. I just wish that I knew that someone had heard the word of the Lord and had come out the other side and seen that God had been true and faithful. I'm telling you, we have an entire book that speaks. The word of the Lord is tried. Person after person after person heard God and realized, you know what? It was best to follow His way. And in those times that I face the most uncertainty with the enemy, God is that wall of protection. Again, the word used again and again, where God declared, I will defend. Can I close with this thought? Israel never won a battle in which God fought against them. I don't know if you've ever thought about it that way. But Israel never won when God fought against them. But Israel never lost when God fought with them. Wait a minute, your numbers are so small. It's no problem. God's on our side. There have been times where Israel went out with an overwhelming force. And it seemed for sure that they'd be the victor. I mean, they were undefeated in the land of Canaan. Overwhelmed the city of Jericho. And they didn't raise a sword. Surely we can take Ai. Oh, but the problem was that God was fighting against them because there was sin in the camp. Christian, walk with the Lord, trust His word, and know that in the most difficult of times, up against no matter how great the enemy may be, God is my buckler. He will defend. Let's pray. Father, thank You for this verse. Thank You for the truths of this verse. Be great for all of us to commit this to memory because we desperately need the encouragement in those difficult times, those uncertain times. I pray that the young people would take the truth of the Word of God and say, you know what? I'm going to trust the testimony of these others that heard the Word of God and then they believed the Word of God. And they saw it all come to pass. I'm going to accept that they're telling me the truth and I'm going to follow the same word. I want to be on the right way. And I know if I'm in that place that God is my wall of defense. He'll be with me. It may seem as though I'm the minority. It may seem as though the popular stance is against the direction that I'm going. But Lord, I know His way is the best way. Would You help adults tonight to commit this verse to memory and to rely wholly upon You when we see so much of the winds of society going against God and against His word? And we all know God is our defense. Great truth for us tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. With